Okay, I beg your pardon.
No, not at all.
Bruce Burke.
He will be here late.
All right. Colin Oglesby. Cynthia Harper Aya. Dale Calvert.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Present.
Ian Johnson.
Present.
Jesse Lugo.
Here.
John Aitken. Paul Smith.
Here.
We have five present, which meets our quorum.
Thank you so much. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Paul and I make a motion to approve it.
Thank you, Dale.
Second.
Thank you, Jesse. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Excellent. That was expedient. Thank you all so much. All right, so next up we have the call by the audience. We have 10 minutes allocated. I have three folks who asked for time. So first up will be Pat Rudolph.
Thank you. I'm with Vista Del Rio the Neighborhood Association, and I'm here to advocate for our neighborhood, and I'm here with the president, Derek.
Okay, thank you so much. Next up we have Chris Lopez, representing Julie Keene.
Hi, Chris Lopez, Julie Keene, and I want to thank everybody for all your hard work. The Julie Keene streets are finally getting paved and they're almost done. Southern Arizona Paving is doing a great job. Okay, we check it out every day. I'm taking pictures, I send it to Eric, so they know all about it. Okay, so that was my thing, just a long road, but we got it. And one thing I do want to bring up, the Collector Street, I do want to be able to add or just put it on record that we are still looking for a country club to be on as the Collector Street Country Club between 22nd Street and Aviation, okay? That one is long, long overdue. We don't have sidewalks, we don't have curbs, we don't have drainage, okay? That was supposed to be done way back when Aviation Parkway was done, like 25 years or so ago. Okay, we're still waiting. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Next up, we have Derek Daniels from Vista Del Rio.
Yes,
I'm Derek Daniels with Vista Del Rio, resident as well as board member and representative here for the association. I'm here to learn more. Been here quite a few times. And there's progress. I believe our neighborhood's on the list for planning. So, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Okay. Without any other comments, thank you also so much for being here and participating in the process. It's good to see our neighbors here. All right. Moving forward in the agenda to Proposition 101 updates.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the and public. Let me get this thing queued up here and we'll go over the Prop 101. That's got a little bit of a laggy. Mouse there. Okay. All right, great. Let's see if this does what I'm. Okay. First, on Prop 101, that, as you know, Prop 101 consists of both residential streets and arterial streets. Have components for both. We'll start off with the residential streets, where we stand at this point. In terms of the packages, the initial packages, we had eight packages of streets that were identified. Package 1 and 3 through 8 are all now fully complete. Package 2, which consisted of the West Side neighborhoods, Elvira and portions of Julia Keene, were paved in 2020, but at that point in time there was a concrete shortage and those curb access ramps were deferred. We were carrying on our budget a little over $1 million to complete that work. I now have all of that work under contract with two different contractors. The Elvira ramps are very next to the Barrio Nepal in Elvira neighborhood that are currently under construction with KE&G, and I've entered into a contract to construct the 59 ramps in that neighborhood. We also have the Star Pass Collector Street project under construction, and we have engaged Tucson Asphalt to continue to work in that area, and they will be constructing 58 ramps in the West Side neighborhood, which I'll show you the locations here. If it works. Let's see. This, would you kindly advance for me?
Yeah.
Or did I mess it up? There we go. All right. These are the streets in the Elvira neighborhood. Each of the little handicap access ramp symbols represents a location where we're going to be doing ramps in that neighborhood. We've got 59 of them going on there. Well, now I got it figured, almost.
We're right up in your new IT in this room, and we're the first ones to use it.
We're beta testers.
Yes.
And then this is the West Side neighborhood. As you can see, you've got Star Pass Drive, basically between Greasewood and Mission Road. North of San Juan, up to Star Pass Boulevard is the area that we have in the West Side neighborhood. And there are 58 curb access ramps that we're building in those neighborhoods. Most of them concentrated in the Paseo Vista neighborhood, which is the one that has Armadillo and Ocelot and Gecko, you know, the streets in the upper left corner there. So those are now underway. They've yet to break ground on either of the projects, but they are in it. And we have a contract that is a little over $200,000, about $250,000 less than the budgeted amount that we had for that. Moving on to our arterial streets, we have package 101 arterial, package number 4, which is rehabilitation. The only remaining piece of that project is the piece that is on 6th Avenue between Valencia and Los Reales. Tucson Water has water modifications that they're doing. They're in the process of preparing to solicit bids from their job contractors this month, and we'll get that underway. Once we have that, once Tucson Water has completed their effort, at that point, we will move forward to do the street bid. That is actually goes right through the bar in the neighborhood here that we're also working on.
So on your notes that we have, you said some of those are starting in January?
In prior months, or in the prior meeting, that had been identified. And that Tucson Water has not initiated their work yet.
Thank you.
We then move on to Package 5, which is the reconstruction of 5th Street. That project has been executed with Hunter Contracting. They've been doing pre-construction work. They are being managed by Tucson Water because this is the reason for the project is because of the paving project under Prop 101. Tucson Water's work actually is larger in cost than the work that we expect for the paving, and so they have taken the lead on that project. They expect to start their water improvements this summer, and we expect to follow up with paving work in 2024. Oops, that's right, yeah. Okay, well, I went too far. Spoke too soon. All right, Package 8. That package is not fully complete. That's the east side work that was done by Southern Arizona Paving. They wrapped up their work on, I think the last piece that they did was on Sabino Canyon Road. That has all, since our last meeting, been finally accepted. So that happened in late January. Package 9 and 11, which is preservation work. That was work that we suspended in December because of temperatures and because of the holidays, and we were having a lot of conflict between holiday shopping and construction work zones. So we put that project on hold. That work will resume in late April.
Jim, I have an update on that.
You do, please.
Starting Monday, we met this afternoon, and that work will resume starting Monday.
Thank you. So that we do expect that to wrap up in early summer. Package 10, which is rehabilitation in the downtown street areas. Most of the projects have water modifications that are needed. The design is underway. Cushing Street is the only project that is complete to date, and we are going to be continuing on. I keep going the wrong way with this. Sensitive there. Okay. The earliest construction for the remaining projects will be in this fall. Likely that will be on stone. Stone does not have any water mods on it, but we are doing the cycle track improvement, and we'll probably do that in conjunction with paving that will be done associated with the downtown links project. We do have other projects that we're going to be doing, and Church Avenue is now going to be a complete street project. And we have other, again, water work that's going to be done. So likely, this project will likely be our last project to wrap up because it's in the downtown area and we've got such extensive water improvements. Package 12, rehabilitation of Silver Bell between Congress and St. Mary's. That's underway. We expect that to be wrapped up later this year. And package 13 on Park Avenue. Right now, this is in the finalization of the water mods packages, and Tucson Water, again, will be assuming management of this project. Again, this is another one where the paving is actually less expensive than the water replacements that we've triggered. So Tucson Water will be taking over that project. Yeah?
Where on Park Avenue?
I forgot. Is it south? You had to ask me that. I don't know. I know it is south of the downtown area. I went the right way first. Okay. This is the financial overview. We actually have Priscilla Lane here with us. Would you like to present them, or do you want me to keep going? Okay. All right. Well, this is the financial overview. We've to date collected between collections and our interest and gains in our investments. We have total revenues to date of $132 million, $132,534.25. Total expenses thus far, $122,233.61. Most of that work, actually, we've got a fairly sizable balance in the residential side of the campaign. We have a $4,346,258 balance in the arterials based upon our current cost projections. I would characterize the residential work as largely done in terms of its expected cost. We don't expect much fluctuation from from that final number as we move through the remaining curb access ramps. But we have a lot of projects that have yet to bid on the arterial side, so that still could move. Those are based on estimates that we've done, and we all know that bids come in different from estimates. It's just whether they're high or low. So let's see.
Jim, in answer to Ian's question, the park was like 23rd to like 36th, I think it is. That's approximately that stretch.
Thank you. I appreciate you clarifying that. I have not been that close to the project, so thank you. So, let's see. I'll keep going around. I think that was the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to stand for any questions that you have.
I noticed as you went through your projects that management on some of those is being taken over by water.
Yes.
Department. Maybe that's been something that's happened all along, or is it something that's come along more recently?
This has come along more recently.
Could you explain that?
You know, many of our early projects didn't have the water complex. As we move forward with the water projects, one of the concerns that Tucson Water has expressed is that, you know, when we're managing the project and we're putting these things out to bid on a combined bid basis, sometimes, you know, it would make more sense to divide the projects because they could get better pricing from some of their some of the utility only contractors and the paving separate, because it's two different specialties in many cases. Some of the general civil contractors will do both, but oftentimes in doing so, it prevents some of the specialty utility contractors from bidding. So what they have requested, particularly on projects where the cost is largely assigned to water improvements, they've requested to be able to use their contracting methods and their contracts. So they have job order contracts that they've used that they've been able to manage to. So that's really in a nutshell what has brought that about.
If I could just do a follow up then, it's a hypothetical concern, but water and roads, kind of two different things. What involvement do you have in your department to continue oversight so that the elements that involve paving and your expertise still are brought to bear on these projects?
Well, we are not unrepresented in this effort. We have both our project manager, you know, watching and participating in the management meetings that are run by Tucson Water. And when it comes to field decisions, we do have our own inspectors out there. In both our projects, they have water inspectors, and when water's taking the lead, we'll have our DTM inspectors overseeing that portion of the work that's relative to or germane to us. So if it's down in the pipeline, you know, in the bottom of the trench, we're not as involved in it, but as it's coming up to grade, we're paying more attention to the compaction and how they're adjusting things.
So to sum up then, you feel comfortable with the level of involvement you have, even though the water department's managing some of these projects?
You know, I'll never be comfortable.
Okay.
What I will tell you is that I feel like we're well represented. And, you know, we are trying to work collaboratively with Tucson Water. It's sometimes an uneasy collaboration, but we're doing our best job to do that. As you see later in the Prop 411 discussions, you'll see that we're having a big impact on them, and they're also having a big impact on us. I mean, the issue is, though, that just as we have old streets that need to be replaced, we have old water lines that are nearing the end of their useful life, and Tucson Water is invested in a lot of technology to try to predict the useful remaining life of projects based upon the characteristic of the pipes, the materials that were used, the age of the pipes, and the history of repair work in their system. So they're looking at each neighborhood individually, and we're having those conversations. Where we're going to have a challenge is on the financial side of it, we're blessed with a fund source that we can get after our work on the streets. It's not always as easy for Tucson Water. They are an enterprise fund, so they're expected to make their repairs based upon their revenue stream. But you know, everybody's sensitive to water costs, and they don't have a free hand of raising those water rates in order to do what they need to do for capital upgrades.
Gotcha. Well, just as one member of this committee, if you sense any issues that develop that we could discuss, issues that might come up to help you, please feel free.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I know Mr. Johnson's been following this very closely, and we've had some meetings at council board offices to discuss the matter with senior Tucson Water folks and ourselves. So, you know, it's we're having those conversations, and I can tell you that that I spend at least 3 to 4 hours a week talking to folks at Tucson Water, coordinating just the planning aspects of things to try to keep the programs running.
Thanks for your question.
I've got two quick follow-up questions. Yeah. I mean, a little bit across the quick. One is, does the fact that you're passing off these contracts open up, does that give you more capacity because you're not having to dedicate staff time to managing them? And then also, I would assume that the water department is has the same negotiating power that the DTM does to get rates on these bids. I assume that it's like they're bidding for the same thing to the same entity and they just happen to be managing. Is that how it works?
Well, it's in many cases what we're doing is we're breaking the contracts up.
Okay.
So we will have the water work bid to water contractors and the paving work bid to paving contractors. In the case of Fifth Street, we hired one contractor that will be doing both of them, and Tucson Water is managing that contract. The contractor is Hunter, and they started their career out as a ditch company in rural Maricopa County, back in the 20s. They have a long history of doing utility work. That's one of their specialties. They also do paving, and so we're confident that we'll get a good project out of them. Some of the other projects, they've been. When we've put them out to bid to our contractors, Tucson Water has had issue with some of the pricing. I know that when we bid Grant Road, the piece that we're going to be celebrating, I think tomorrow, the groundbreaking, that project, Tucson Water's, we got a high price. Tucson Water's prices were even higher than our prices. So they were dismayed with that, and that has a big budgetary impact. And they're trying to control what they control with their budget. So that's really what's driving their motivation.
And then the other, I'm sorry, I bundled the two questions together. Does it impact your capacity to project manage more projects? Or do you end up having the same thing?
Not appreciably.
Okay.
No, our project manager may not be making all of the shots, but they'll be involved in the schedule, in the decision making. So there may be some incremental addition to our capacity, but we haven't really noticed it.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Let's keep moving.
All right, great. Well, thank you. I'm going to have to figure out how to do something better with this. Actually, I may take the. Keyboard back here if I might. See if that gives me a little more control.
And while you're getting this set up, I just want to say happy Earth Day to everyone.
Let's see if this works. All right, Proposition 411 update. And I'm gonna do this all right. All right, so these are just some examples of some of the road work that we've been doing. We're doing it all kinds of treatments. We're involving our maintenance staff within the Department of Transportation and Mobility doing certain work like crack filling. We're doing preventative work, as you've seen on the left side, where we're treating already good roads to keep them good. And then we've done resurfacing on other streets. In terms of projects, where we are now complete with our resurfacing, this is our list here. Many of them you're familiar with. Some of the more recent ones that we've wrapped up include the Miramonte, Peter Howell, and Sam Hughes area resurfacing. We've got another. Yep, keeps going. We are now in the Doolin Fruitvale neighborhood. Actually, we just finished that. We finished Escalante Road since the last time we met. We finished Hermosa Hills and Halcyon Acres since we last met, and as well as Sunset Via. And then there are other projects in there as well that we have completed in terms of surface treatments. In terms of things that are currently underway,
I'll just lead off with Julia Keen. Chris left, so. But Julia Keen, we're moving quickly through that. We are also active in the Barrio Nepal and Elvira repaving. Between those two projects, we've got 2 square miles of city streets that are being repaved. Santa Rita Park, that resurfacing project is about to start. In fact, I believe they're going to start chip sealing in the next week or so. Flowing Wells Westwood, we're currently repaving that. Cherry Avenue neighborhood is also getting resurfaced, as is Casitas del Sol, Los Ranchitos, and Los Reales Industrial Park. Harlan Heights, Mittman, Thunderbird, Wilshire Heights, and Monte Catalina Estates. That has been a slow progression of projects. We started out with patching and crack filling beginning in the end of May. We'll be doing an asphalt rubber chip on that, and we'll be following that up with a microsurface over the top of that. South Park neighborhood, that neighborhood will be getting repaved. We are also doing fog seals in a number of neighborhoods, again, going and trying to preserve those streets that are in good shape. We want to keep them good at a very low cost. We can fog seal and extend their life. Tierra del Sol, that's a square mile of repaving that we're doing on the east side. I believe that's 22nd Street to Golf Links from Colma to Colma, I believe. So that is underway. Right now they're starting on the preliminary work there. And the Garden District, they're actively paving in Garden District and about to start in the Sewell neighborhood. And Barrio Cougar Lane, we gave them an NTP or notice to proceed this week, and they'll be moving into paving in that neighborhood. This is a shot looking at the Garden District paving. They'd just finished the east-west streets, and the inverted crown north-south streets, which carry a lot of water, are open right now, and those are in the process of being repaved. In fact, if you were to drive out there today, that would be fully finished. In terms of the neighborhood streets, this is the initial project list map. The only neighborhoods that were not done with are the ones that are circled. To the left, we've got the Barrio Viejo neighborhood, which was put on hold by Tucson Water. We have the next one to the right is the Cherry Avenue and Altadena Heights neighborhood, which we actually have been going through a bid process with that with our JOC projects. Our new contractor selection, and that should be awarded shortly. We have neighborhood, and forgive me, I forget the name of the neighborhood, but it's basically between 29th and 22nd Street, I believe that's Swan and Alvernon, that neighborhood in there, or I'm sorry, Swan and Craycroft. That neighborhood in there is being held for Tucson Water, as well as the Yale Estates neighborhood, which is the one that's just to the north of the Tierra del Sol neighborhood, which you see the full square mile block that's covered there. So those projects, the three of them are waiting on Tucson Water, two of them already have planned or expenditures. They're in the program. We're waiting for word on when they're going to do the area in the neighborhoods. In terms of where we are financially with the initial project list, this is an overview of the cash that actually came in. This is the sales tax collections. This is unaudited. This doesn't include any of the charges or interest or investment earnings. So this is just what came in through the sales tax collections. To date, we actually have better information that Priscilla has
And Priscilla, I'll send you the email. I'll send you the whole PowerPoint if you want it. This is from Weitrim's, directly from her materials. This is actually a report that you have before you on the table. This is a report that actually shows where we stand as of April 10th in terms of the actual the collections that I showed you before. Plus, there are charges that go against those collections, some associated with the Department of Revenue, some audit expenses and the like. There also are revenues that will come in associated with investments and interest. So right now where we stand in terms of the total revenues collected to date for both safe streets and local streets is $133,463,075. And that is $106,770,460 of that is dedicated to the local streets program. In terms of program expenditures, in spite of the fact that we have a lot of work underway, we haven't got all the bills in yet, and a lot of it's in process. And this also includes expenditures that came into us in the last fiscal year as well when we were first starting out. But to date, we've on the road side or the Better Street side, local street side, we have just under $18 million of expenditures that have been reimbursed today. Anything I need to, or you want to add to that? In terms of where we stand and where we are heading, if you will, one of the things that I keep track of, I want to make sure that I'm not overexpending what Priscilla has for me. So I keep track of what the value is of the contracts that I've issued plus change orders. Right now we're at $68,309,088 in terms of what we have committed to. When you look at that $106,770 that was in the revenue, that leaves us just short of $40 million. Or actually short of, or call it $38.5 million, if you will, of funding that's unencumbered at this point. And that's our war chest going into phase one. And again, that will continue to grow as we continue to collect.
One question.
Sir.
How are you doing on change orders? What's 10%?
It's under 10%. What I'm going to do is at some point as we get through this initial project list, what I'd like to do is present to you how it worked out for us. What the bid was, what the change orders were, and what we actually spent. Because sometimes, we'll go change orders and add to the liability, but because certain of the items that we have in the contract aren't expended against, we may end up being closer to the actual original. So, but it's worth looking at, and I'll be presenting it to you in the future.
Do we feel like revenues are increasing or about the same as last year?
Revenues, actually, I'm going to slide that. You can see what the change year over year is on the far right percentage. So, first month is not something that we can really look at because we weren't starting to collect taxes. And over time, you'll see that. We are shifting from monies that may have gone to Prop 101 are starting to shift into Prop 411. Once you enter into a contract, the taxes that you enter into the contract under are the taxes that you're charged. So you will end up with some lingering revenue coming to older initiatives while the new initiatives are starting up. But generally, we're looking at. And I wouldn't put too much into the negative percentages. They fluctuate month to month. On the whole, we're doing better. So in terms of the percentage, I haven't worked it out, but I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up in the 5 to 6% growth range.
Okay.
Does that seem about right to you? Okay. Okay. Moving on, one of the things that I've been taking a lot of interest in is recycling our pavements. As we mill up those streets, we've got to do something with that material. And one of the things that we found that we really want to do is is recycle that material. What we're doing is we're crushing. I think we've talked about this previously. The inset photograph is a picture of our half-inch chips that we're creating, and we're actually putting these back down again. In fact, I got a little sample of what we're creating. That just came a cup out of the pile. So that is what we're producing right now in terms of the wrap chips. Those chips were put down in the fall surface treatment campaign, and they're going down presently in our spring campaign. We have thus far crushed about 80,000 tons of wrap since September, and we're going to be renewing the contract to do that. In fact, one of the things we're looking at doing is creating a new site at the Los Reales Sustainability Contract and expanding our operation because we think it makes sense to do so.
And can you just define wrap?
Wrap. Wrap is reclaimed asphalt pavement. In terms of, this is a photograph taking a look at some of the wrap material that's gone down. We think we're going to generate about 150,000 tons a year of wrap. So we need to put that into our pavement. That's 150,000 tons of material I'm not buying. There is a cost associated with crushing it. For me to crush wrap, it costs me about $13 a ton to crush it. But I'm producing products that I'm spending between $30 and $60 a ton to buy. So it economically makes a lot of sense for us to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Basil says you use concrete with the wrap. What do you say you use concrete?
We are not using concrete with the asphaltic cement concrete. That, when we start talking concrete comes with either Portland cement or asphalt. The way we term concrete is engineered. So this is only the asphalt concrete that we're talking about here. We have not tried, one of the things we might think about doing is crushing Portland cement concrete. We are also demolishing a lot of curb access ramps. We've not tried that yet. That may be something that we look at in the future. But one of the reasons that I like it, and I shared this photograph with Colin previously, this is, when we go out and we look at our asphalts, trying to decide what we're going to do, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll core the paint, some crew out, they'll take this machine that just basically makes a cylindrical core, goes down through the pavement, and they extract it so I can see what we got. And this is a photograph of one of those. And when we present them, we always put them with the flattest surface is usually the top of the pavement. So we always put it upside down. So what you're looking at here is kind of a profile through the pavement. And one of the things that I've found repeatedly is, and you can see right at about the 2.5-inch mark, there's a marked change in the pavement. Our old pavements used a lot more rock than we're currently using. And what we're doing right now is liberating that rock with the crushing program. The rock is becoming, part of the reason that the mixes have changed over time is because rock is not as available as it once was here in the Tucson metro area. We've played out a lot of our pits. It's hard to open new pits. You can't put new pits in along the river the way we once did because of the fear of them being captured by the rivers. And then what do you do with them? They typically will turn into inert landfills and things like that. So it's something that the practice has changed. I'd love to see a way that we could work with the mines in the future to get better quality rock, but at the moment, what we're doing is looking at our recycled product as a great source of new material. And right now, of the product that we're crushing, we're able to use it all in either slurries or in chip seals. And we are continuing to have conversations with the asphalt producers in the region to see if we can start moving more add more wrap to our new hot mix asphalts as well, because I think there'd be benefit in doing that. It'll mean a little different way of approaching than we have in the past. In the past, we put up to 15% material in, and they weren't always happy with the results. So it has not always been used or has been shied away from in many cases. I think if we crush it first, and instead of taking just the raw rap as it comes out of the milling machine and feeding it into the paving plant, we might do better. So that's something that we're going to be looking at.
Do you see any opportunity with South 32 to get rock from them?
We've not talked to them about that. I mean, I'm open to talking to mining, but at the end of the day, it's the concrete and asphalt producers that are going to be buying the product, or in the case of the chip seals and the slurry seals, I'll be buying the product from somebody that's going to be mixing it and laying it down. So I have control on it to a point. I probably don't want to have control on it. I mean, I'd love to have private industry take this over and get me out of the business. But for now, I'm pushing it.
Okay,
now we're moving on to phase one. Those are the projects that I'm actively working on. They're circled right now. Up in the upper left, the uppermost project is circled in black, is the Mills neighborhood. There's a neighborhood immediately to the right of it on that map. That's the Liverloss neighborhood. I have both of those under contract right now for mill and fill. We are currently going down to the lower right-hand corner. We're currently active in the Rita Ranch area. We've been doing surface treatments in Rita Ranch. We have some challenges. We are working through them and trying to address a problem that we had with bleeding, basically where the asphalt rubber was bleeding oil and people were picking it up with their tires. So that's something that we think we've got it under control now. We've added some sanding to that. That's really typically what we would end up dealing with it, but the contractor was a little late bringing that in there, so that's something that we are taking a little bit of heat from some of the neighbors in those neighborhoods, but I think we've got it under control now. Other neighborhoods that are, the other three neighborhoods that are on this, I have those into procurement. We've already done the plans, the specifications. They are awaiting being advertised. I believe the center of the three, which is kind of a north-south looking oval, that one is La Madera and Winter Haven and the Cactus, or basically the Racquet Club area. That project should have advertised for bidding today. We believe that, a May 14th bid opening date tentatively scheduled. And my goal is to have them mobilized and paving immediately following the Tucson Water Project in the La Madera neighborhood, which they should be concluding at the end of June. So in the meantime, there will be work that can be done on curb access ramps, pre-lowering utilities. The other two neighborhoods that also are into procurement but have not been advertised yet are the El Rio and Ironwood Hill neighborhood, which is on the left. And I know with the neighbors present here, we also have Vista Del Rio that is also in that same tranche of projects. So they're in with procurement, plans and specifications are in hand and turned over to procurement for advertising and bidding. So we hope to see those bid over the next month or so. These are some images from the Rita Ranch area. You can see, I believe that's Reese Loop on the upper left with the centerline stripe already on it. And you can see that they were working in front of one of the elementary schools on Rankin Loop, which is in the center. And then on the upper right-hand side, you can see the crews putting a micro surface over the top of the asphalt rubber chip seal in one of the other neighborhoods within the ranch. Again, that is ongoing. We did put a pause on it while we were dealing with the bleeding issue, and we will have the contractors returning in May to continue working. Right now, they're doing punch list items and addressing some of the cleanup issues that they need to do as a result of the bleed that happened. Other projects that are in active development. These are projects that I expect to turn over within the next month, or actually get out even sooner. In the lower left corner, little green circle, that is National City Arcadia. And that's one I can send directly to the jocks to price. This is just to the west of the neighborhood the Rodeo Edition neighborhood that has been under construction in Ward 5. So that's a paving project that I hope to get going early this summer. Up in the upper left corner is the Amphi area neighborhood, and there are three neighborhoods in there that I want to do. It's basically Sawtell Place, I forget the other two neighborhoods that are in there, but Pastime Acres and I forget the third. But in that area, basically to the north and to the east of or surrounding Amphi High School. So between Fort Lowell and Prince, and then on the west side between Stone and Lowell going up to Roger Road. So. I'm just reviewing the mindsets right now and doing red lines and get them marked up and get them back here in the next week or two. We should be able to put that out to bid. And then the big one, Rolling Hills. I have been trying to go after basically getting everything repaved between, Cole and Harrison Road, between 22nd and Golf Links, that's the Rolling Hills area, both east and west of the Pantano Wash. We will be doing a variety of things, including within that are also some collector streets that we're going to be working on. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Some of the projects, or there are some elements of it that we do have some risk with do some water on, but we're moving forward with that. It will be a combination of surface treatments and mill and fill. The most degraded of the streets are basically between Pantano Parkway and just east of Camino Seco. Those will all be repaved with mill and fill. We'll also be looking at the major or the more major roads within the eastern portion of it and doing mill and fill on it, including 29th Street, Oak Park, Palm Tree, and Kathy Lane. Those will and Olympic Park. Those will all be getting repaved, and then the remainder of those will be looking at doing surface treatments in the fall. So this will be a big active area, likely beginning into the summer and working through the fall up to probably close to the holidays. We should be done before the holidays start. And then we are also looking at surface treatments. And this is, I try to do these seasonally. This is what we're calling our fall campaign. We break them up into different packages so that we can divide it to multiple contractors and get a greater amount of work going simultaneously. We've got a west side package that includes parts of Middale Park, a little bit of Enchanted Hills, there's a neighborhood to the west of the El Rio area that is also going to be treated. Then we've got work. We're going to be actually going into the Auto Mall area, and Auto Mall Drive will not. That was repaved recently, but we'll be doing all of the side streets beyond around the Auto Mall. In fact, we're even going to be tacking old Oracle Road between Turbo Drive. Basically, it goes between the fitness center and the CarMax facility. There's a road in there that's in really bad shape. We're going to actually change order that onto the Liberal West and Mills neighborhood project and get that done, because I don't want to hire a separate contractor just for a short 900 foot piece of road. That doesn't make sense financially for us. Then we're looking at going into the Midtown area with a package, one of the priority areas I talked about previously was actually right in, I'm going to try to use this thing again here, bear with me, right in this area. When we met last, I'd identified this region here as being a priority area that I wanted to look at. And that includes Pinecrest, Avondale, Swanway, and a few, basically that area between Craycroft and Swan, between Grant and all the way up to Fifth Street. You know, I really wanted to tackle that area, and because the roads are in pretty bad shape, it's an area that we've gotten a lot of complaints over, and we wanted to take care of those areas. Unfortunately, I've learned that that's also a priority area, or actually, Tucson Water has not created any projects in that area, but they've identified the need to create projects in that area. So we're going to be having that conversation about coordination with them on our program. And then I also identified the Rolling Hills area again, because it's a large area and it'll have a mix of surface treatments. Most of the surface treatments will be actually on the west side of the Pantano, where we are. We did Deets neighborhood last fall, and we'll be doing the neighborhoods to the east of Deets. To the south of Deets, south of 29th Street, which is a mill and fill, collector road that we're going to be doing. The southwest corner of that area, Tucson Water has also identified as having problems with water, and they would like to do a water project in there. So we'll be talking to them about that. And I think it is the last slide. So that is how we're moving forward with the phase one program. One of the things that I have provided at your table is this document here. This has all of the 130-plus neighborhoods that we're going to be looking at with phase one. The ones that are colors are meaningful here. Everything that was in yellow is an area that we've identified as a priority based upon complaints and based upon what the ward offices were telling us that had the greatest number of complaints. So we started with that. Everything that has got a salmon color to it, those are projects that we're looking at in the fall surface treatment campaign. And the blue are areas that are future mill and fill areas that we'd like to be working on, again, because the condition of those roads are pretty abysmal. And frankly, I had to start when Tucson Water started telling me that they had challenges on my priority list. I started looking at the next tier of priorities that I'd want to work on to see if I could get them sprung. So that's what I've been doing.
And the gray?
The gray is done. That's what we're talking about. So you'll be seeing more gray on that, which reminds me of that. This is the list of the other list. It has more gray on it, and those are the projects that are now complete. Looks kind of brown with the gray. But
there is some gray in there.
What's that?
There is some gray in there.
Yeah. Well, the greener stuff are the projects that we're currently underway on. The grayer stuff, or it almost looks brown almost on this. Brown and gray is those are the projects we've got. And the ones that are whiter, the ones that
that are not moving.
Yes.
So on this board, on the sheet, there's a gray and a green.
On this sheet?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was gray when I sent it to the copy. So if you were to look at that, at the very top, that top band, that would be what I would call gray.
Okay.
And the stuff that has a little more of a green tint to it was actually green on the document that I fed to the machine. So. And then,
This is like the whole list of the first round of candidates.
That's the initial project list that you directed me to go forward with a little over a year ago.
Do you have any extras of that?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Any questions for the
first one of those? Sure.
I'd be happy to chat with you after the meeting.
Thank you so much. All right, so next up on our list, on our agenda, is
the change in the condition of the roadway. That project is nearly complete. I believe the only thing they have yet to do is they have to do the thermoplastic striping, and that is going on as we speak. So that project will be largely complete. We did that. That project, we were talking about change orders a few minutes ago. That one did incur some change orders. We ended up finding that when we started the pulverizing of the first lanes of traffic, that the underlying soils created a real problem for us. We ended up spending about the better part of a month trying to remediate that situation, and we're having difficulty getting compaction. So we changed or pivoted our program. We did end up having to spend about $200,000 more than we had planned to remediate the soils in that area.
How did you do the remediation?
We exported and brought in millings, raw millings. We compacted that. That still didn't cut it, so we added cement to it. And then that was what the base ended up being, and then we put down the asphalt on the remaining portion of it. The pavement, the original pavement out there was about 4.5 inches thick. We, for the remainder of it, we milled off 3 inches and replaced 3 inches, which was where we actually started thinking about, for the project. So that project will end up costing, as I mentioned, about $200,000 more than we planned. We also, at the same time, coupled this with the safety program expenditure of about $200,000, which is for the resurfacing of the bike paths. So we have the bike paths resurfaced through the length of the project as well. So we were pleased with the way that worked out. At the end of the day, I think we got a pretty good product, but it was a little ugly getting there.
I noticed in some areas that there was, particularly as you get down closer to Camino Seco, there was a stretch in there where there was the bike path, but it was paved right the whole from the side of the street all the way across the bike path. And I was wondering why it transpired there. Obviously, by your response, you probably don't know. But
well, you know, I know that we do have some areas near Kaminiseko that have where we've got parking. You know, basically, the vehicles are traveling off of the road with less traffic control. We don't have formal driveways. People are able to go across that. And so we have to maintain that. So short of, in the old days, we used to be able to just do heavy parking off of the street, and it would be uncontrolled. Now we obviously have development standards that require us to do much more than that. But where it's there, we have to deal with it. That's what that leaves probably what you're referring to. Okay, in terms of where we are, as I mentioned, Old Spanish Trail, Broadway to Harrison, paving is complete, we're finalizing the work. Star Pass and Players Club up and drive, we issued the notice to proceed on that on April 1st. They're beginning to do the pre-lowering work right now. We will be doing curb access ramps throughout that project, and that project will be, one of the things that we have is apparently there is a run that's scheduled for early in May that we're going to have to protect around. So we will be mindful of that event that's going to be happening out there on Star Pass. That was something that we hadn't planned on when we did our bid. The other thing that we have completed now is Greasewood Road from Ironwood Hills to Speedway. That also included sidewalk a sidewalk gap that was funded with 411 safety funds through the council. And that is a photograph of the completed Greasewood Road project. So it looks pretty good. This was a preservation project more so than a reconstruction or resurfacing. This actually had a fairly decent road surface, albeit cracked and with lots of crack filling, but we resurfaced that with a type of micro surface. In terms of projects that for this map, you should be familiar with. This is the one that we presented to you at the last meeting to get approval. These are the projects that I'm currently working on. In addition to Old Spanish Trail and Tucson Boulevard and Star Pass, Tucson Boulevard, that will be starting construction in May. So that will be a mill and fill project as well. Same contractor as did Old Spanish Trail. This will be a 3-inch mill and replace. And that's being done in advance of the 22nd Street viaduct closure. And I know Mr. Hartley has been championing ways for me to get some sidewalk in there as well. So we'll be working with him on that to see if we can get that dealt with. We also are working on, and as you can see, Prudence and 29th Street. Those are collector streets that are being done with the Rolling Hills project. The other thing I'd like to point out is Sarnoff, which is on the east side of the wash there. We are not, we had originally planned to do that, but as a part of the Rolling Hills area program, we've since learned that there is a bike boulevard in the works on that, so we're gonna hold off on that and try to do a combined project with that. I think that'll produce a better product. The last thing I wanted to point out to you is on the southwest side, Calle Santa Cruz, down near the commercial area at Irvington and Interstate 19. That 2-mile section, or 3-mile section, constructing that as well. There are some gaps in the sidewalk we'll be addressing, and we'll also be reconfiguring the striping to add protected bike lane here. There'll still be the same number of travel lanes, but we'll restripe the way we're handling it so that we can make it safer for bicyclists. Other projects that are underway, these are design projects. Those will be managed by my colleagues in
at the Department of Transportation and Mobility, Elvira, Flowing Wells, Euclid Warehouse Cherry, that's been initiated, Silverbell Cherry Gull at Fairland. We have 90% plans on that now, and Bilby Road is at 60%. Most of these projects have water improvements in there. In fact, all of them very well made. So we'll be continuing to work with the Water Department on that. And we'll keep you posted on how that affects the schedule and memo. I've kind of taken on a number of projects that I can get done early or quickly to show progress to the public. These are going to be, even though they were in the initial project list, these are going to take some time. So we'll be working through those. Collectors being ready for bid, as I mentioned, in the Hills area, we've got 29th Street from Cole to that community animal, and Prudence from 22nd to 29th Street. And then, as I mentioned, Cayo Santa Cruz, Burlington, and Valencia, we're going to be doing a design project for that, but this will be a fairly swift design in that we're really focusing on the restriping and adding in some sidewalk gaps. So it'll be a fairly swift project. We have been working, or actually, my colleague to the left, Patrick, has been working with the Complete Streets Coordinating Council on the preliminary collective project list to look at costs for various elements that they'd like to consider putting into the collector program. And I believe they're still on track for some cost estimates at the end of next month.
Yeah, which is the initial product. Probably going to the CSCC in June now.
With that, there'll be continued conversation about what the CSCC wants to fund. Look at the budget of it, budget of the various elements that they want to add, and then we'll get some direction into design for those projects that we can do quickly. If they pass on projects, I can take them directly to the into my program, and if they do involve adding additional elements, it's a little more exhaustive than the work that I do on the projects that I'm pitching. So that would go into a different process. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Okay, thank you for your forbearance. What we're doing right now, this is a map that shows all of the program that we've got in phase one together with the initial project list, both the resurfacing efforts, which are in purple, and the preservation efforts that are in green. And we have regular weekly meetings with Tucson Water in
usually lasts several hours. We are continuing to slog through the process of looking at each project, looking at their infrastructure. Some things that we, well, I'll get into this in a minute, but we look at a lot of different things on each of these projects as we're going through them to see what kind of risk Tucson Water has associated with our projects and what they think they need to do. We also are coordinating with other utilities as well. Southwest Gas is one that we've been particularly active with lately. Unfortunately, it came because we found out that after we had awarded Mario Kruger Lane and had told the public that we're about ready to start in Mario Kruger Lane, Southwest Gas said, oh, well, we were thinking we might want to do a high-pressure gas main into the heart of the city for that neighborhood where apparently Kinder Morgan has a pipeline. So they're going to reroute and route it down 18th Street, so including bore pits under Interstate 10, fairly exhaustive project. But we have been working with them to try to help them identify where utilities are so that when they do come in and do their work, it has the least level of disruption to the work that we're going to do. We are, however, going to continue to go forward, and they will have to cut pavement and repave half the road in the areas that they end up installing their gas main. And it's going to be a sizable main. It'll be a 4-foot wide trench they're going to be putting down the road. So it's, I want to say, a 24-inch pipe with natural gas in it. So it's a big one. And we continue to have conversations with RWRD, or Regional Water Reclamation District, Pima County Wastewater, to those of us who have worked with them in the past before they renamed it. We're continuing to work with them, and their projects typically don't have a whole lot of conflict with us. Where we generally run into problems with them is if during our pre-lowering process we find that there's been deterioration in the manholes. And we have a project that we're doing right now in Blackledge where we're actually having to go back in and reconstruct a manhole. And an old masonry manhole was probably installed in the 30s or 40s, and it has failed, and we have to rebuild it from the bottom up. So that would be something that would be affecting us. But for the most part, we don't have much trouble with Pima County Wastewater or Regional Water Reclamation. The blocks in there that are in blue, those are our neighborhoods where Tucson Water had already had in process before Prop 411 neighborhood main replacement projects. And we have been working with them to follow up their work with our work. So we'll save the public the most by not doing things duplicatively and reducing the burden to Tucson Water for the kinds of repair work they need to do. As we've talked in the past, aging infrastructure, particularly water, has not been budgeted well. It's not for systematic replacement, and our improvements oftentimes trigger that replacement need. The utilities are many times installed to old standards. Where we have problems, particularly, is with older asbestos cement pipe. That the pipe itself actually has a lot of integrity. Problem is that they have rubber gaskets that have aged, and if we put in a compactive effort on the paving, which is to our benefit to try to compact it, so we have a better performing roadway, any compaction effort will oftentimes loosen those rings and will make water leaks. So that's something that we've had to deal with. Many of our specifications now go out with requiring 95% density on our pavement instead of 100%, which is our preferred, and where we would be doing static rolling only, not vibratory, just because of the fragility of the underlying water utilities. Tucson Water, many of those areas that were shown in blue were being replaced because Tucson Water wanted to move them out of alleys. where they're difficult for them to maintain from the streets. And in doing so, you know, we will be, we'll have a continuing obligation to adjust their water valves, whatever we pay for, whatever cost to us that will be bearing in the future. But it'll make those water mains much more accessible and easier to deal with when we go into some water estimate things to address either shutoffs that may be due to a water leak elsewhere or dealing with water leaks that, you know, in the roads themselves. We are also working on cost sharing arrangements where we can better assign the cost for the work that we initially. In the past, what we've had in place were moratoriums where Tucson Water or any other utility, you know, once we pave the road, unless they have an emergency, they're not allowed to cut the road for up to 5 years. And it certainly discourages replacement work. If we are able to come up with a better way to share the costs and end up with a roadway that is treated appropriately so we don't have a long-term degradation in the road as a result of that, it's to our benefit. And that's what we've been working on. We are continuing to adjust our approach to project delivery. And you know, we are now trying to time our projects to follow their main replacement projects. So ideally, and our first project that we're going to be doing this with is the La Madera neighborhood in Fairhaven. Typically, when Tucson Water does their main replacement projects, they do very small projects. Because a main replacement, when you do that, move everything from an alley to the street, you're cutting the pavement in front of every house. You're to put in a new water line. You're cutting up the length of the road to put in the water line. And then you go into the private properties because everybody's water line is fed from the back, from the alley. Now you have to feed them from the front. So you're going into everybody's yard to do a water main replacement. These are time-consuming projects to deliver. And so they typically go with small projects. For us, paving, I want to go big. Go big, go cheap. Because the more I can get in volume, the lower my unit price is, and the more I can do with a better quality paving material. So that's my objective, is to bring the price down to do, in order to do the best products. And so what we're looking at is where they're doing their work and trying to line up projects that are nearby so that I can have a bigger paving project, that I'll be able to get the number of square yards up and get the unit prices down. So that's something that we're doing. Tucson Water hasn't had a real program for exercising their valves. One of the things that they're finding is that when they exercise their valves, they find about 15% of their valves are broken. So when you have a broken valve, they have to go in and physically excavate around that valve. You're going to end up with a fairly big pit in order to remove that valve. And in some cases, they're not finding these until after we've paved. So we need to, again, this goes to that whole cost sharing and how we deal with this, this pavement moratorium once we've paved. So these are things that we're working with. One of the things that we're looking at is, you know, if a project has got a marginal cost associated with it, let's say it's on the verge of getting a water main replacement, but the pavements are such that I can do a surface treatment and forestall both of our activities with more aggressive work, I'm considering that. So that's something that we're looking at, where we can do surface treatments, which have a less life, but a less cost. We're looking at doing that and trying to match up so that we can do the more aggressive treatment later when Tucson Water has done their water work. So these are the kinds of things that we're looking at. Tucson Water is also looking at their water boxes and are now making those available to us at no cost. Water boxes are basically the pipe that goes down to the top of the valve, and then there's an adjustment piece on the top. typically what we do when we repave is we will excavate that water valve, around that water valve, put a plate over the top of it, and then pave over it, so that when the milling machine cuts through, it doesn't hit a cast iron valve box. Sometimes, though, those valve boxes themselves, as you go down into the down to the water line, they may be full of debris. They may be, they may have failed because those metal pipes also deteriorate and rust, and sometimes those have to be replaced. So they're now making those available to us when we're going through our process of pre-lowering. So those are things that we're working on together. We are finding that the exercising of the valves is slowing our process down. There's only a certain amount of capacity that just no longer has to do their valves. One of the things that we've been trying to address with them is the time frame on those. And in fact, on this on this particular spreadsheet, you'll find in the same column that has two sub wall water holes, you're also finding dates in there, and those are dates that they can, that by which they can have the water valves exercised. I can go forward with paving at that point. So they are dictating somewhat our timeline on some of these projects. So at any rate, those are the kinds of things that we're working on. We are continuing to work with them on pavement repairs. You know, if we end up with a water line that fails while we're in the process of the project, Tucson Water is responsible for repairing the water main. But we have our contractors on hand who are assuming responsibility for making pavement repairs once they've got their work done. We are looking at ways that we can better coordinate our time on projects, particularly those. And as I mentioned, look at our respective efficiencies of scale. They do small well, or they prefer to do smaller projects. We prefer to do larger projects. How can we make those two match up? And it involves really having larger areas for us that overlap their smaller areas. And that's the approach that we're taking right now. Tucson Water is starting to prepare to do water main replacements associated with our phase one work. Barrio Viejo, they are in the process of getting that under its own. As you know, when we came forward to you with the phasing approach, we said we wanted a three-year period so that we could shift things around and meet emerging needs, and utility upgrades are certainly amongst those. When we look at the projects with Tucson Water, their considerations are typically the age of the pipe and what's the predicted remaining life. As I mentioned, history of water leaks, depth of cover over the pipe material, what kind of resurfacing. If we're doing, as I mentioned, the surface treatments, it's not as critical for them. And as I mentioned, sometimes we're constrained to the kinds of compaction that we're doing if they have boulder lines beneath our roofs. What I did on this colorful handout here was I identified 37 neighborhoods that we reviewed with Tucson Water. They are all the ones that were identified that are in color and identified as being milling overlay. Those projects, we have 37 of them that we reviewed with them. 20 of them were identified as having waterline replacement issues or being candidates for that. So. There is a significant impact that we have on one another. We are going to be looking at, as we go through this process of talking about all of these projects, we'll be looking at, are there opportunities to do alternative road treatments? What is the capacity for Tucson Water to do their work, to do this water line replacement work? You know, they don't have the budget that we do. They may have to accept that we're going to be doing paving over water lines if they can't afford any budget this time. The capacity of staff is also an issue, you know, as I mentioned. We are straining them with the water valve exercising. Once they find a valve that is broken, and they didn't even know they had a valve broken for the last 18 years, now that they've found it, you know, what's the timeline for repairing and replacing them? And is this going to hinder us in our delivery, or are we going to look at ways that we can work together and perhaps delay some that are not critical and replace others that that are critical, and then look at how we can work together and repair the pavement?
Yeah, just a comment. You know, when you're not up to date on exercising valves, you're most likely going to find it when it's an emergency.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a water leak someplace and you're trying to shut it down, and you can't get the valve to work.
And they have a challenge enough because, you know, truth be known, in our past paving practices, sometimes we didn't always adjust them. There are instances where we pave right over there and here. So, they always reminded me of that. So one of our things is finding their water valves when we do have those situations, and then bringing them up to grade when we do end up working.
I remember this was on a road construction project, but the paving of Pima. Out at the Swan Road area. Mm-hmm. They were doing that Swan Road intersection. I remember, right, they had three different delays because they would get a design for the work and everything underneath there, and they start digging and they could find other lines, etc., that they didn't even know they had. So where the plans weren't all up to date, it's a frustrating.
That is so true, and we experienced that on Broadway Boulevard at Country Club when we had not only unforeseen conditions, but we also had a significant delay in material acquisitions.
Thank you so much.
That concludes my report.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to put a fine point on the eventual impact, which is why Ward 3, who I represent, wanted to talk about this a little bit more. I mean, there's going to be we have a deadline and we have money and we're going to touch every street, but there's going to be some streets where there are water mains and we're going to end up having to do treatments that are less intensive or less appropriate just because we can't touch those. You know, they're not going to have the water money to do the water lines. I mean, it seems inevitable. Like, you know, it's still a few years out, but I think there is going to be the case where there's a neighborhood that needs a billet overlay 2 inches to get a good street, and we're going to be chip sealing it or whatever. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something that doesn't vibrate those old pipes. So that's what my ward office was. We really wanted to make sure they understood. I think this presentation really did make that point. So thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing discussion, and you know, if we have something that we feel strongly about needing to have repaved with hot mix asphalt, you know, we'll make sure that we let them know that they need to do their water line work there, or we need to forego it and have them come back in a little bit when they can afford it. We also have, although we have very fortunate the funds that we now have available to do the work. We don't have the money that we can utilize with this. One of the things in this report that you'll see at the bottom that we've identified some budgetary numbers associated with this, and based upon this strategy that I've laid out here, the preliminary treatments. We've got an estimated cost per square yard of $24 a square yard for
for mill and fill, and $16 a square yard for surface treatments. With that, with this breakdown, I've got probably 45% of the streets getting surface treatments, and the remainder getting mill and fill. And that's about our budget. I wish we could do them all, but we're going to pick the ones that are the best candidates for doing surface treatments and get the most degraded streets. We will certainly address those with the landfill.
I just want to say, Ian, that I appreciate the fact that you've elevated this to a conversation on this board, because this is the second time in two meetings that we've heard about the water department's problem. And I call them problems. It's basically a budgetary issue, right? They have no long-term plan for systematic replacement of the water system. Is that a correct understanding?
They have an underfunded plan.
However you want to say it. It seems to me that this needs to rise to the level of a mayor and council decision. Because as I'm looking at this, thinking as maybe others of us have been thinking about this, the flow, if you will, of these projects, pun intended, is going to be impacted by the water department. And as we go down the line and you try to play big and they keep going small, eventually these two things are going to collide. I don't know whether that's 2 years, 4 years, but we're not going to be, if we continue to try to jerry-rig this, we're going to run out of options, and pretty soon they're not going to have, we're just going to be stuck. And I may be overstating it, but I'm simplifying it. But I'm wondering how we push this up and bring this to the attention of mayor and council and needing to address it before it really gets out of hand.
Well, I appreciate that question and the comments. What I am doing right now is I'm going to continue going through this entire list of all of the projects that we plan to do mill and overlay on, and evaluate the likelihood of those projects needing to have water improvements. And with that in hand, I'm going to tell them, all right, what's your budget? What's your time frame? How am I going to do it? I've got 3 years. I'm going to do them all, and you know, how are you going to do your end of the deal? If you can't, then you either need to get more resources, or we need to start talking about leaving some of these in place. And so those are the kind of conversations that we are going to need to develop internally before go. And ideally, what I'd like to do is be going, arm in arm with them to the council when we do have that hard discussion.
Well, I'm not trying to pressure you, but I am, on the other hand, thinking we can't just sit on this, and it's a problem fundamentally of an inadequate budget, and that lays in the lap of the city manager and the city council.
But I would also offer, right, that we need to communicate this to the public so that yes. We don't look like we're not fulfilling our obligations.
Yeah, I think that's an
right.
Excellent
and
point.
I mean, if this is inevitably that we see, we need to make sure that the public understands, so it just doesn't seem like we're not doing what we said we were going to do. And so I think that getting in front of that with charrettes or whatever is important. Yes, absolutely advocating on behalf of additional funding or allocations of some sort, but also talking to our neighbors and making sure that people understand we are trying our best, but this is the reality of the situation. And I wanted to say, I had a sinkhole in front of my house. When the sinkholes happened on Speedway, it happened in Rodeo Hollywood. And my street in front of my house was an open pit for a couple of months. And my house was shaken. Right? My house in 1940 was built, and I have cracks all over my house because of it. And so the reality of the water infrastructure not having enough stability and us not having enough budget to rectify that situation is a reality. And people need to understand that yes, the percentage of tax to do these neighborhood streets that we promised to do is important, and it's part of that's what we want to get done, and the reality of the water infrastructure that does it city.
Yeah.
So anyway, And I know that we're running over, and I apologize.
The reality of this is that I think you get to a point where you have to go ahead as well with what you're talking about. And of course, that may be a city council decision whether they want to do that or not when we get to that point. The other reality too is if you do go ahead, you're making your bet that pipe is going to have a longer life than is on your schedules. And yes, as somebody who did water rate analysis, etc., we have a life expectancy of pipes, and those life expectancies are frequently overrun, sometimes with disastrous results and sometimes without. And so, you then have that risk that you're also running if it's not done. But that again is a council on a water department problem. And I don't think that the council is going to want to be delaying the projects too far. We've got 401 project. Park, for instance, was scheduled in the second year of the 101, and we're in our second year after 101, and we're still talking about when it's going to be constructed. So there's time frames that can be expanded on to do that at risk.
Thank you. So I know we're running a little bit late, but do you want to do a quick update?
Yeah,
can you?
Super brief.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Hey, everyone. Patrick Hartley, staff liaison with Blue Streaks Coordinating Council, is giving a brief update. We are going to be meeting this Wednesday. We don't have any other specific to Proposition 411 that is going to be in the agenda, but there are maybe a couple items that would be of interest or note to this committee. We'll be seeing the 15% striping plans for the 5th Street Road reconfiguration, road diet, so we'll be seeing what that three-lane reconfiguration looks like. We'll be seeking comments from the Blue Streaks Coordinating Council, which is in the remit set by Council, to help us with project design and review. We'll also be taking the new Drexel Bridge project to the CSCC. Same concept, we'll be doing that as a design conversation, reviewing what we're proposing for the new Drexel Bridge, connecting at basically Midvale Park to Cayo Santa Cruz. As an aside, I think I mentioned this in the past, when we were out doing some of the public engagement around Midvale Park, we heard more comments about the pavement condition on Cayo Santa Cruz than we did about the bridge itself. So I think there's going to be a lot of community members who will be very excited that this project is moving, and appreciate this committee taking the lead on that and making sure the funding is going forward. With regard to the project cost estimation, we do have a designer under contract right now, as Jim mentioned. So we're looking at 16 potential corridors from that collector list that would be layering in 411 safety money for the kind of complete streets treatment on those corridors. We should have the results of that exercise in about 4 to 6 weeks to see what the cost estimates are, which parts of the 411 budget they would be hitting. We'll then be bringing that to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council to identify kind of timeline sequencing, feasibility, and what our cost constraints are. We're hoping to have that in front of the commission in the committee in June, but that'll be a trigger for us that we can start moving that next batch of the Collector Street program. Recognize it is introducing additional delays, but we don't want to pass up this opportunity to deliver a more comprehensive project when we're out there tearing up the asphalt. We can get some of the benefits of the efficiencies of having a crew out there, the mobilization, the materials. So while we're out there, we can address some of the deficiencies that are multitude on our collector network. So this is a great opportunity, really a generational opportunity to take that on. Again, I have a number of you on the distribution list. All meetings are virtual, so if you would like to attend or just listen in, reach out to me directly. I can get you on the distribution list, get you the Zoom links. You can tune in, we'll cook a dinner. So everybody has it, so yeah. I would invite you to attend and participate.
Thanks,
everyone.
Thank you so much. All right, so let's talk about the future meeting date. We've been meeting on a quarterly basis, and so if we stick to that schedule, the next meeting would be in July. So if everybody wants to look at their calendars.
I'm going to make you up July 22nd again, Leah.
Okay. How does July 22nd look, y'all?
Works for me.
I'll be in Durham, Oregon. Phone in.
Can we do a hybrid?
We, for this commission, have not done a hybrid meeting, but we could look into it, I would guess.
If it's possible, that'd be fantastic. We'd love you to.
It's summer, so we may want to think about having hybrid meetings.
You're good? Okay. Paul, how's your 22nd of July look? Good?
Yeah,
Jesse?
I'm just back.
Perfect. Outstanding. All right, so let's look into the hybrid possibility so that Mr. Burke can be in it, and we'll make that work. So, okay. With that, I'd like to adjourn, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Do we need to vote or anything on that?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
No. All right, adjourn. Thank you all so much for your time. 7-Eleven. Have a wonderful quarter, and stay hydrated, y'all. Stay hydrated.
Well,
thank you. Just a big thanks to the staff. Y'all are doing an amazing job. Thank you.
Did I catch
No.